Welcome to Mill Spouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own Mill Spouse journey. So hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. This is Jen, and I'm so glad that you're joining me today. Whether you're a new listener or you've been with me for a while, this week of Thanksgiving, I am so thankful for you, and I hope that you will really enjoy this episode. I had not planned on coming out with one this week, and then I realized that November is National Adoption Awareness Month, and I was talking to today's guest, Courtney Woodruff, about that, and she has quite the story to share about fostering and adopting as a military family. And so I thought, I am certain there are many listeners that are also interested in this topic. So I hope that you will really enjoy hearing her perspective and her family's journey. They were an Army active duty family, and then her husband went into the National Guard. And so she shares about how they have fostered many children and then ended up adopting a baby. And then even the books that she's writing, part of the proceeds are going to support adoptive and fostering families. So we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But like I mentioned, this week, this is coming out the week of Thanksgiving. So I hope wherever you are in the world that you are having a fabulous week. And no matter what's going on in your family, if you're separated from your spouse, or it's your first holiday alone, or whatever the circumstances are, I hope that you are able to take some time and just be thankful for what you have and enjoy the day no matter what. I've spent many Thanksgivings alone. So if that's you, I feel for you. I also will have to say that I learned to be thankful for those seasons where I was alone. It may sound a little bit crazy, but it reminded me what was important. And sometimes it kind of took the pressure off, because usually if you're by yourself, nobody's expecting you to be the one to make the big dinner. So that's a nice little bonus. And I know even when my husband was active duty, as if you're a first-time listener, you may not know this, but he's been retired for several years. I will never forget what it's like to be alone over the holidays. And I think most of you as military spouses, you will probably always reach out to your community or somebody that might be alone, because you know what that feels like. And we also learn how to cope when things don't go as planned. So all of that to say, I hope that you have a very meaningful and special Thanksgiving. So just a reminder, anything mentioned in this episode or any episode, you can always find the complete show notes over at jenmcdonald.com, as well as the complete show archive. You can just go through and listen. There's quite a few episodes now, a little bit of a deep library now, which I'm really glad for. I will say, when somebody talks to me about listening to the whole show archive, I tell them, just remember to give me a little grace in the beginning episodes, because I was just learning what I was doing, and it's been 3 years now. There's hopefully been some growth, but at my site, you can also find resources for PCS, military spouses, and military kids, along with all sorts of things about military marriage. So like I mentioned, this is coming out the week of Thanksgiving. I will be traveling for a week after that, and then we'll be back. My hope is to be back in December with a couple more episodes. One will be about holidays and military life. And then the other one, I have guest Chelsea Davis from The Submerged Life for a great interview. And I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. So she's a Navy spouse, but also a submarine spouse. So I've heard from a few of you that you've been wanting some support for submarine spouses. In the meantime, go check out the blog Submerged Life, and they are also on Instagram. And the way I found her was they were just sharing the funniest memes. And I was like, I have got to find out who this person is behind it. And then we ended up talking. And so she is coming on the show next month. So be looking for that. Is there a topic that you want to hear about? I hear from you guys a lot on Instagram, messaging, or you can send me an email at Jen, J-E-N, at jenmcdonald.net. Let me know your thoughts. If there's something you really want to see covered, we're gonna talk about it. So in the new year, we'll be talking about some financial things, have some great guests, and I want to hear from you what you really want to hear about. So I'm going to give a quick listener shout out over on Goodreads. I kind of forget sometimes to check over there. And this is about my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. And Kelly says, currently facing deployment, as this book was much needed and super helpful. Definitely recommend to military spouses and others who live the military life. So this week's iteration of Jen's favorite things, like I should have like a little music to introduce that or something. As I mentioned, The Submerged Life, check them out. Their account is really good. There is also another account on Instagram called Millwives Saving, and that account makes me laugh every single day. I need to find out who that person is because they have such a great sense of humor, and it's just one of those things. Every time I see a meme from them, it just cracks me up. Those are my two favorite things this week. So if you are looking for a little laugh or something more lighthearted, because it can be a heavy time of year, go check them out on Instagram. So as I mentioned, today I'm talking to Courtney Woodruff, and she was previously on the podcast back in 2018 on episode 17. And we kind of catch up on what's happened since then. And then she talks about her journey as a fostering and adoptive mom. So she has also written two books for children. One is called Juniper Spark and the Dagger of Mirin, and I would say that's probably elementary aged. And then a picture book that just came out this past month, and it's actually been an Amazon bestseller in several categories, so that's exciting. And it's called Blackberries All Year, and she will be doing a giveaway of a copy of each of those on Instagram, so look for that. And you can find out more from Courtney at courtneywoodruff.com and fosterhollowpress.com. Again, happy Thanksgiving. I will talk to you guys in a couple of weeks. So let's get into our talk with Courtney. So hey, everybody. I am joined today by Courtney Woodruff, who you might remember from episode 17, the episode called When Military Life Scares You. And Courtney is a homemaker, wife of a National Guard soldier, and the mother of three boys living in the Pacific Northwest. She is also a foster and adoptive parent, an adoptee, and a writer who believes stories inspire, teach, and bring us together. Courtney published her first children's chapter book and an action adventure story touching on subtle themes of foster care and adoption in May 2021. Her first children's picture book, Blackberries All Year, came out this month. So you can connect with Courtney at courtneywoodruff.com. fosterhollowpress.com, and on Instagram is at courtney.at.home and at fosterhollowpress. And as always, we will link to all of those places in this episode's notes. And I will add, she is an incredible writer. In fact, like one of my favorite military life writers, she's just got such a gift. And I am just really, really glad to welcome Courtney back to the show. So welcome, Courtney.
Hi, Jen. Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
Oh, well, as a writer, I appreciate other writers, and you need to hear it sometimes, because sometimes you can just keep working on things and you don't ever get that feedback. But yes, she has got the gift. So speaking of, congratulations on your new books.
Thank you.
I just saw that Blackberries All Year was the number one new release in its category, right?
Yes. Yes. So exciting. So crazy. I don't even know what to say about that.
I think I saw your email, but I had already been looking at it on Amazon, and I was like, look at the little banner by it. I was like, that's so cool. And
I then know.
Your other book, Juniper Spark, has done really well in its categories as well. So we'll talk about both of those, but I thought I would give you an opportunity to kind of give us the quick update of what's happened since it was the end of 2018. So it has been 3 years. I was thinking, oh, it's just been a couple of years ago, but it was really 3 years ago. So a lot has happened, not just in the world, but in your own life. So give us the update.
Yeah, it's been almost a full, what would be a full tour for my husband. So we're both kind of starting to get itchy to move, but we're staying here. He's in the National Guard now. He transitioned out in January of 2020. So right before the pandemic hit. And right before that, we started the licensing process to become foster parents. So we had a lot of changes going on at that time. And 2019.
Oh, wow.
2019. I'm getting confused, Jen.
The pandemic has just made the last couple of years be like, this has been 5 years.
Oh my goodness. It does feel like that.
So it sure does.
2019, that was not the year that the pandemic started. 2020 was the year the pandemic started. 2019 is when my husband got out of the military and we became foster parents. And in 2020, we were home with the kids all year. My husband went to New York City for a couple of months. He was a respiratory therapist in the Army, and they just have been really needing respiratory therapists at hospitals all across the country. So he decided to go for a couple of months and serve there.
Oh, wow.
And it was really tough. He just transitioned out of the military, and so he was using his skills, but at the same time, he was burned out and just like nurses and doctors and healthcare workers across the country are right now. So after coming home from New York, we just kind of took a break and he started a new career path. And I'm home with my kids now, and we're doing foster care, and I'm writing whenever I have time. And
you did end up adopting.
Yes. We adopted our son that, we picked him up from the hospital when he was a newborn baby in April.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
2019. Yeah. We didn't realize that he would be our son at the moment, but, because foster care, the number one goal of foster care is reunification. But sometimes that doesn't work out, and it didn't in this case. And so it was a tragedy for him, but we're just so thankful that we get to be his family.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, and November is National Adoption Awareness Month. And obviously this is a topic that's very dear to your heart. So as an adoptee, if you want to share a little bit of your story and what also led into your decision to become a foster and adoptive parent yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I was adopted as an infant. My birth mother relinquished me in the hospital, and a foster family took me home for a couple of days. And then my adopted family came and picked me up, and they gave me all the things that I needed to be healthy and strong and stable growing up. We lived in a small community, was really supportive, and went to church, and I got to go to college, and that's where I met my husband. And so just growing up an adopted child, having those experiences, dealing with the emotions and challenges, I had a great life. So I'm not complaining. I'm very thankful for everything. But it just gave me the heart for kids who are going through similar challenges. And whenever I met my husband and we started planning our family, we just knew that adoption was going to be a part of that somehow. He joined the military and life went really quickly for the next 10 years or so. We had two boys of our own, and we were moving all the time. As you know what that's like.
Yeah.
We had like 13 addresses in 13 years. Mm-hmm. So we were never really in a place where we felt like adoption, it was the right time. So whenever we came here from Germany, we knew we were going to be here for a while. My husband was considering getting out, and my son Logan, he is now 8, but he was going into kindergarten at the time. He grew out of an old pair of shoes and he brought them to me and said, "Hey mom, please don't give these away. Please save them for the next baby that you have."
Oh.
and I just, having another baby wasn't on my radar at the moment because we just moved from Germany and
yeah.
we were starting a new life here, but it got us, that got us really thinking about adopting again.
He wanted to be a big brother.
He wanted to be a big brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so, sometimes people say that God speaks through kids. And
yeah.
That was a moment like that for me and my husband. So we, we started the licensing process to, become foster parents because we just felt called to the needs of the families in our community. And mm-hmm. we knew that there were children that needed homes. So mm-hmm. Got licensed. It took about 4 months. And then we got a call one day to pick up a newborn baby. And it's just been a roller coaster ever since.
Yeah. And I've wondered, do you sign up for like a specific age group or are you just kind of open to whoever needs you?
There are a lot of different ways that you can foster, and it really is all up to you. Mm-hmm. Even when you get a call, you can say yes or no. But we're licensed to foster 0 to 18. And we also tend to serve children who have been drug exposed. So that's one avenue that you can take. There's so many different ways that you can foster teenagers, elementary age kids. Just pretty much whatever is on your heart, you can put that on your application.
And you're still continuing to do it with the new baby?
We are, but in a different capacity. Mm-hmm. We are serving as a hub home for something called Mockingbird Family. We're licensed through an agency, which not all foster families are. You can be licensed through the state or with an agency. It's kind of like an added layer of support. Mm-hmm. And then Mockingbird is a third layer of support. So we act as a hub home for a small group of other foster families who have placements full time. And then whenever they need respite or they have emergencies, then we're there for them, like their extended family. So it's kind of, it's a new way of doing foster care. And, ideally we do social events and, meet once a month and, take care of the kiddos like we're their aunt and uncle. But the pandemic has made it to where it looks different than it usually does, but,
right.
But we're still connected to these families.
That's so nice. Then you have that built-in community and you're not having to do it alone. It sounds like.
Right. Right. It's a lot like having other military families to connect with.
You found a different community.
Exactly.
Yeah. How did your other children react to the fostering and then even the adoption? You said your son was excited and wanted a new baby. Have there been any speed bumps along the way or any kind of issues with your other children?
There have definitely been speed bumps. it's challenging. I mean, mm-hmm. even my youngest son is now a middle child. And so I've noticed that he needs more one-on-one time with mom and dad. Actually, this weekend, my husband's going to do something just with him because things have been a little challenging behavior-wise lately. But at the same time, it's been really cool to see my kids grow through this because I was really nervous about it and sure. I wasn't sure how it was going to affect my kids. I was kind of worried that I was exposing them to trauma. But Logan is our baby snuggler.
That's so nice.
We have... a couple months ago, We had a little one come into our home unexpectedly, and he walked in and said, "We have a baby." And I was like, "Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you." And he said, "Can I hold him?" Oh. So, you know, it really is cool to see them learn and grow through it as well. And then my older son is, he's my helper.
How old is he?
He is 10.
Oh, he's the perfect age.
Yeah. So he's getting to step up and help, and that really makes him feel good. So.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, do you think that military families, you know, especially if they're on the move, if they're interested in fostering or adopting, what are the hurdles or what should they be aware of? And do you think that it's a good idea for a military family to act as a foster adoptive family?
I think that military families can make really great foster and adoptive families. I do think there's some challenges in military life. But if you know that you're going to be somewhere for an extended period of time, or you just feel called to do it, if it's something that's on your heart, I really encourage you to go out and find out what you need to do locally. It took us about 4 months to get licensed, so it is kind of a lengthy process. But one of the things that makes military families so great at this is you're used to paperwork and the government knowing everything about you and red tape and not having waiting. So your whole life kind of being out of your control and not getting a say and. The situation that all of that is a part of foster care. And I think that military families can be naturally just deal with those challenges because of their experiences.
Yeah. That I didn't even think about that part of it. Yeah, that's so true though.
Yeah. And we also know how to build community. We know how to go somewhere new and meet people and build communities of support for our families. And we know how to go out and get resources that we need to help our families. And those are all real challenges and obstacles of foster care. But when you're used to doing them, it feels like no big deal.
Right. They've already got a head start.
Right. And you can't really compare military child experience to what kids go through in foster care, but you also have that, you know what it's like to move a lot, change schools a lot. And so it gives you a little bit of insight and compassion for those kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and do you have, I know you said it, like to find out locally, is there something or a website or, you know, some sort of clearinghouse for people that are interested in either fostering or adopting? I know they're two different things. And so just because you're interested in one doesn't necessarily mean you're interested in the other. But if you could share a couple of places where they can find more information if they're just kind of have their interest piqued by this conversation.
Sure. I think that starting with your state's resources is a good place to start. Here in Washington, it's the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. They will tell you what the local licensing requirements are. It's because foster care isn't federally regulated like you might think. So it's different locally. But so start with your state, but also adoptuskids.org has children who are waiting for adoption in foster care. I think that some of the misconceptions is that adoption is really expensive, and private adoptions can be, but if you're adopting from foster care, usually the state takes care of it for you. So National Adoption Month is about raising awareness for the children in foster care who are legally free and waiting for adoptive homes. And I know that just in our state alone, there's 1,087 children.
Wow.
Just in Washington state that are legally free and waiting for homes. So if you feel called to this in any way, I just encourage you to go out and just find out what's happening in your state. What are those numbers? How you can help, even if it fostering or adopting isn't something you feel like you can do.
Well, if somebody is wanting to help, what other ways, if they can't foster or adopt, you know, their current situation, do you have some ideas for ways that they can support other families that are doing that?
Absolutely. I think you can start with your local, the state, like the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. There's a version of that in every state. You can reach out to them and ask what supplies they need. A lot of times they put little kits together for children coming into care, like toothpaste and things that you really wouldn't even think about, because suitcases, because kids come into care with trash bags, and clothes, they come into care without shoes. So providing material things, that's something that you could do. Just finding out who's a foster family in your community and providing meals to them, respite support, which is maybe just taking the kiddos for a while they take a nap. So really there's a lot of ways, praying for families. I think that's an important one too.
A church we were in for a while, they did a thing at Christmas, and I believe they were coordinating with an agency, obviously, maybe this, you know, the state agency, or we had a little tree where they had put all the different wish lists of kids, and you chose one and then you fulfilled it and brought it back and they distributed it. And it was really, really neat. And then they did another thing where the fostering families in our church, you could offer to, it was the same thing. You could pull one of those things off the tree and like make a meal or take them something, or it was very specific. It was like, we need 50 washcloths because we have like 7 kids, you know, reusable that we can wash over. And it was just very specific. And I loved that because it felt very tangible. Like, okay, this is actually making a difference.
Right.
But the other thing was the respite care. I was in the process of, if you want to do that, you have to go through a background check, which I'm glad, because I think it keeps the children safe, obviously. So if you are wanting to help a family, where we live anyway, you're required to go through a screening process before you're allowed to like even quote babysit. So So that was, you know, we're in a different state, but I think if your church listeners doesn't already do something like that, maybe you could head it up and just reach out to your local agencies and see, would that be something? They probably would love that.
Absolutely.
And then you've got this whole community behind it, and it really can become a passion of that local church, where even if you're not in a position to care for children, you can support the ones that are.
Yes.
I think we're, you know, as Christians, we're commanded to do these things. It's not even an option to not care for the orphans and widows. And they technically are living as orphans. So I love your heart for it. And just obviously this is a passion that your whole family has. So I don't know how much you're allowed to share, but if you had a couple of stories, because I do want to make sure we talk about your books that are also, you know, supporting adoptive and foster families. But if you had a couple of stories from your fostering experiences, especially, you know, whether it's something that was surprising or something you had to work through, or maybe something that other people misunderstand, I know that's a lot, but if you had a couple of little stories to share, I would love to hear them.
Sure. Wow. I have so many.
There's probably many.
Yeah. I think that just generally speaking, we've had so many challenges, but it's really, I've had to rely on my faith and just trust that every need is going to be met, and it has been. And so those have been kind of the cool stories of, you know, whenever we just really needed a break. We've had families bring us meals and things like that. But specific stories, let's see. We've had 10 children come through our home since we joined Mockingbird. And, you know, it's hard to have children come into your home and only get to spend a couple of days or a couple of weeks with them and then have them go on, and you never know what's going to happen. So you're going through your things later and you're doing laundry and you find a sock that accidentally got left. And your heart just, it's hard to explain what it's like.
And do you get to find out how they're doing later?
Really? No. Once they move on from the home that they're in, you really don't have any contact with them at all, but you can always pray over them, and they'll always be in our, just in our hearts and in our minds. But, we've been able to meet some really amazing people, some really incredible people in our community. There's a couple that are, that have been doing this for 40 years. Wow. And they always, for 40 years, have had a newborn baby in their house. So just meeting people like that has been really amazing. I'm trying to think of a specific story that it would be okay to share.
Right.
Because of my experience as an adoptee, I know my birth family. I connected with them as an adult. Mm-hmm. And honoring the children's birth families is really important to me, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like, because every situation is different. Mm-hmm. And in our situation, we have a relationship with his birth mom, and we have gotten to have her there for haircuts and first birthday and Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And,
he doesn't understand yet what that means.
Right? He doesn't understand that. So it's very challenging, but it's also really beautiful. It's very humbling. I'm sorry, Jen, I don't.
Oh, it's okay. I just can't even imagine, because as he gets older, like, that's going to be interesting to navigate.
My goodness. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like that's very generous of you. I have a family member who, yeah, like you said, you have to be so careful, like, how you're wording them. She did give up a baby for adoption as a teen. And this is years ago, and was told she could, like, know what happened with him, and then was cut off. And it was devastating,
yeah,
to say the least. And she even said, she's like, I wasn't trying. I think they were afraid I would try to take him back, or, you know, these things. And I just wanted to know he was okay. So I think that's very, like, big hearted of you. And obviously from your own experience, you know, bringing into it. So. Yeah. Kudos to you. Oh. I can't imagine that feeling of, like, wanting to do that, but also having a little bit of fear of, like, what's going to happen with this. Like, 'cause you just don't know.
Yeah. There's fear for sure. Fear and jealousy and wanting to protect. And
sure.
It's definitely a day by day kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I can imagine if you are fostering children that are coming from, you know, they're coming because of tough reasons and having to deal with that trauma, mm-hmm. aside from just separation, because that's a trauma for any child. But then also, right. if you're having to work through other extenuating circumstances, do they give you training for dealing with those sorts of things? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. There's lots of training. It is like the military. It's kind of self, you know how there are a lot of resources out there if you want and need them with the military. Mm-hmm. You just have to go out there and find them. You're not required to do a whole lot of training for foster care. Mm-hmm. But whenever you're working with a certain group of kids that are dealing with grief, or they're dealing with parents who have mental health issues, there are all different kinds of very specific trainings that can help you navigate those issues. So you're never really alone, which that's been my experience.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about Foster Hollow Press. I love that name. Obviously, it's a nod to what you're doing and how that came about, and then your two books. And listeners, she's going to be giving away a copy of each of them. They are children's books, very generous. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, how you can enter. But yeah, fill us in on all of that.
Okay. Thank you for, I appreciate the opportunity to give away some books. Foster Hollow Press is a publishing imprint that our family has started. We're publishing children's books with the mission to get stories out there to just touch children's lives. I think that stories are really powerful, and it's how we learn a lot. And sharing them with our kids is an important way to connect with them and even learn ourselves as we read aloud to our children. So Juniper Spark and the Dagger of Mirin is the first book that I wrote. It came out in May of this year. And it's about a girl, a young girl in foster care. But it's told through the eyes of a squirrel in a woodland area that's an action and adventure story. So because my kids love action and adventure stories and they love books with animal characters, it's just something that I knew that I should do with this book. And there's a lot of my boys in this book. So it's just a story that takes the character through finding out who her birth family is and kind of the tough questions that children might have, but they might be afraid to share with an adult. I know as a child, I had a lot of questions, but I was afraid I would hurt my family or make them feel like I was ungrateful when really I wanted to just ask. Yeah, right. It's scary. So I wanted to write books where kids can ask questions about bigger things or maybe create natural opportunities for kids to ask questions through the storytelling or to get them thinking about things. So that's where our heart is, and that's how it came about. Blackberries All Year is the new picture book. And it isn't directly related to foster care, but every book helps us to support the foster families in our community. This one is a story that's basically my favorite childhood memory preserved in picture book form. And it's about noticing the little things in nature and family and...
It's adorable. I got a copy this week. I was just asking her because the illustrations are so cute. I was like, wait a second. Did you also draw them? So multi-talented. It's just like a warm hug. It's just one of those cozy books that'll be your kids will want you to read to them or with them over and over because it's just comforting. I can see it as a really good bedtime story or yeah.
Well, I noticed that when we would read books about nature, that when we went outside and go on walks, my kids would notice things a little bit more. And so that's kind of my why I wrote this book.
Did you think you would be here 3 years ago?
Definitely not.
You've accomplished a lot in 3 years. Life has definitely changed, but wow, just if you stop and take stock of it all, it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I was telling you, I wish I could go back and give the woman that I was 3 years ago on that episode 17 a hug because, if I'd known what was coming, I'm not sure.
You're like, girl, you don't even know yet.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. So listeners, Mill Spouse Matters 20 will get you a 20% off discount at the site. And then we are also doing a giveaway of each of her books, print books. So Juniper Spark and the Dagger of Mirin. Did I say it right?
You did.
And that's more like, what would you say? Like, elementary, middle schoolish age.
Yes.
And then Blackberries All Year is a picture book. So if you want to enter, we will be running that contest on Instagram when this the week that this episode comes out. So go to the Male Spouse Matters Instagram and you can get all the details for that. So that's so generous. And thank you for doing that, Courtney. I really appreciate that. You know, just listeners will too.
No problem. I get lots of joy out of just giving books. So
I do too. I still do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like, yeah. It's a ministry in a way, but mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have really enjoyed talking to you. And I just, before we close out, was there anything else you wanted to add to for listeners that might be thinking about fostering or adopting children?
I just wanted to say that I would love to talk to any of you if you have questions, or if I just hope that maybe there's one person out there that this has touched in some way or encouraged to take the next step in foster care. And I'm always here to talk. You can send me a message through Instagram, but probably the best way to contact me is through email. So, okay. My email address is my name, CourtneyWoodruff@ymail.com.
And we'll share that as well too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you have just such a generous spirit about all of this giving of your time and resources to help educate other families and military families is just, it's so wonderful. So this will be coming out like the week of Thanksgiving. And I know that you have a lot to be thankful for.
We do. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Courtney, and sharing all of this. It's so good.
Thank you, Jen. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely. And listeners, check out all the links and where you can find out more from Courtney. That will all be in this episode's show notes, and as well as the contest on Instagram and the discount code. So until next time, it was great talking to you all, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Male Spouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at millspousematters.com or on social media as @millspousematters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.